When you go rogue, you don't go alone. Find out why so many people in Lloydminster and area are driving home in the new redesigned and redefined Nissan Rogue. It looks great, and with larger cargo space and premium comfort for five, you can take the whole family with you when you go rogue. Nissan Intelligent Mobility keeps the entire family safe, and four-wheel drive means you're ready to go wherever you want. The new 2021 Nissan Rogue, starting at just $200 bi-weekly, is in stock and ready to drive home today at the new Lloydminster Nissan. The new Lloydminster Nissan. We won't sell you a car, we'll help you buy one.
This is Lloydminster Show. This is local that matters to you. Local people. Local events. Local news and sports. For Lloydminster and area, this is Live with Kurt Price from the new Lloydminster Nissan.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the new Lloydminster Nissan. Well, Bill C-10 passed late last night, like 1:30 this morning, and we are still here. Well, we'll see what happens in the next week or so when that bill goes to the Senate. I don't believe that it is expected to pass before the end of summer here. Well, we have a huge show today because there are huge changes coming to the Saskatchewan Courthouse. And we're going to talk to a local lawyer and the Secretary Treasurer of the Battlefords Bar Association, Ryan Armstrong, today about those changes. So Ryan will join us in just a few minutes. No winner last week in the Chase the Ace draw, so now the jackpot starts at $523,486 with just 9 cards remaining. Cutoff for e-transfer and credit card purchases is this afternoon at 2 p.m. You can still purchase tickets in person right up until 6 p.m. tomorrow night at the Lloyd X or until 4 o'clock this afternoon. For e-transfer, use Chase the Ace at LloydXH.com. To use your credit card, use the Lloyd X website, www.LloydXH.com. I will be your proxy tomorrow night, and should the winner not be in attendance, let's face it, that draw that I'll be making will be for the ace, and that ace will be valued at likely right around $600,000. Well, it's grad week here in Lloydminster, and I'm very excited to be the MC for both the Holy Rosary Grand March, the Lloyd X on Friday, and the Lloyd X Comps Grand March tomorrow. Now is the time to get those pictures of your grad in for a chance to win a watch from Richardson's Jewelry in the Lloyd Mall. The new Lloydminster Nissan, Richardson's Jewelry in Spiros, celebrating grad week with our grads right across the Midwest, not just in Lloydminster. And what we're asking you to do is post a picture of your grad from when they were in kindergarten. Tell us where they're graduating from and what their name is, and they'll be entered in to win a couple of watches, a Michael Kors watch and a Diesel watch. Those will be chosen by the grads themselves. There's also pizza parties courtesy of Spiros, and there's also service detailing from the new Lloydminster Nissan. So get those in because that is coming to an end here at the end of this week. Have you got your She Shed raffle tickets yet from the Lloydminster Legion? That shed will be drawn for on Canada Day, which is a week from this Thursday already. Tickets just $10 and only 2,500 tickets are available. The shed is valued at $10,000 and you can pick up tickets at Cliff Roads for Close in downtown Lloydminster. Well, we won't make you wait any longer. This is a huge, huge concern for many people in Lloydminster, and we're really happy that Ryan Armstrong has decided to join us. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to talk about this important issue in just a moment.
How are you doing? It's often asked as an opening question for small talk, but at Synergy Credit Union, we know the answer can mean much more. Did you know that your physical and emotional well-being can be impacted by your finances? You can check your financial wellness score to see if you're on the right track to reach your goals. And if you need to make some changes to get where you want to be, we're here to help. See how you're doing at synergycu.ca/wellness.
At Diamond 7 Meats, we work with local farm families to provide a high-quality product and a great selection for you. Try our mouth-watering smokies, pulled pork, roast beef, and more, made pure and natural with no additives or fillers. We offer custom processing, and our experienced team works for you to provide a selection of sausage, burgers, and jerkies made to your specifications. Take your grilling to the next level with a Yoder smoker. Complete the grilling experience with Canadian-made, award-winning line of House of Q barbecue sauces. We're locally owned and operated, and we look forward to seeing you today.
I love secret sauce. Put it in your car at Co-op, baby. I love secret sauce. Put that sauce on everything.
Steel in Lloydminster is the key supplier and largest indoor inventory of steel between Edmonton and Saskatoon. Locally owned, PWM Steel offers a wide range of services from steel cutting and bending to custom sign and powder coating. PWM Steel uses aluminum products as well as new and recycled steel. Key supplier of steel products and services since 1982. Visit their website at pwmsteel.com.
Advertising. To advertise on Live with Kurt Price, call 780-522-9433 or visit ForgesMedia.com.
Hey, welcome back inside the new Lloydminster Nissan. Our guest today is Ryan Armstrong. He is Secretary Treasurer of Battleford's Bar Association, and it's great to have him take some time out of his very busy schedule and join us here this morning. So, Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Kurt.
So the decision has been made to turn Lloydminster into a circuit court. What does that mean, turning Lloydminster into a circuit court?
So right now, Lloydminster is a regular courthouse, which means it's staffed Monday to Friday, 8 till 5 p.m. roughly. A circuit court location is one that is not staffed Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. The staff come out or drive out, as the case may be, a couple days a week and staff that location. The judge attends only for sitting court days or trial days, and as such, there wouldn't necessarily be anyone here from Monday to Friday.
So as I understand it, this is because our judge is retiring. So what does our judge do right now? Like, does our judge just stick to Lloydminster? Does he travel around the area as well?
Yeah, so this is sort of a function of the legislation. Judge Kim Young, I believe, has retired. And as such, there's not an impediment in the way of transferring a judge out to take this step. And so, but currently what a sitting judge does at a courthouse is sits at the regular courthouse, but also travels out to the circuit locations. So Lloydminster has Onion Lake and St. Walburg as circuit locations. Other courthouses around the province also have circuit locations, some as many as 7 or 8, there are others as few as 1 or 2. But they service, in addition to the main courthouse, circuit locations within the area.
So do you know how many days Judge Kim Young would be in Lloydminster and how many days he would have been on the road?
Well, there, it's fairly set. Like, there's a couple circuit days a month for each of Onion Lake and St. Walburg. I don't have those off the top of my head, but it's a fairly fixed schedule every month, every year. And what we're being told is that that will stay the same. But the practical reality is the staff will not be situated in Lloydminster anymore.
So where does the judge come from? Where does our circuit court judge come in from?
Well, we're told that Lloydminster will become a circuit location of North Battleford. So I guess it'll be one of the 3 current judges from North Battleford coming out to Lloydminster, unless it's someone else that gets appointed. Maybe North Battleford's getting a 4th judge, and none of this has been told to us at this time. So it would presumably be a North Battleford judge coming out to service a circuit point, Lloyd.
So who makes this decision? Where does this organization that makes the decision, or who makes the decision to go and turn Lloydminster from what we have currently, which seems very efficient, into a circuit court?
So that decision, again, it's a product of the legislation, the Provincial Court Act, but it is one of the chief judge of Saskatchewan, but it's made in consultation with the minister in the legislation, so that'd be the Minister of Justice. So I suppose the chief judge made this decision. I guess my only comment would be that I rather suspect that it would not have been done unilaterally, and that the Minister of Justice would have had significant input on that.
So it's a government decision to cut costs?
I don't know, because no one's ever given us a justification, but I just can't imagine a chief judge unilaterally making this decision without some consultation and blessing from the current sitting government.
So what is the consultation? Were you did you see some consultation? Who would they consult with? And did they consult with anybody on this decision?
The only requirement for the chief judge is to consult with the Minister of Justice, but no, our local bar association was never approached. And to my understanding, the Law Society of Saskatchewan, the benchers, were not even aware that this decision was being made.
Would the community have any say in this at all?
No, it wouldn't normally have any say, but I get the sense that there's a lot of people outraged in the community, certainly within our smaller legal community, but I've received a lot of feedback from a lot of people who are kind of taken aback by the fact that this decision's been made.
Was there any warning that this might happen? Like, did you have any idea that, you know, if our judge retired, that this could be a possibility?
No. I mean, we weren't made aware of anything at all. It was a press release 2 weeks ago, I think, on a Monday afternoon on June 7th, and that was the first I heard of it, was actually the next morning when someone had forwarded it to me. So there was no notice given. I don't think the court staff were even given any notice.
Who issues that press release?
I think that one was issued by the chief judge's office. Again, so that one would go back to the chief judge in Saskatchewan.
Where's the chief judge located in Saskatchewan?
That's a good question. I think it's either Saskatoon or Regina. She's relatively a new appointment. She's not a new judge, but she's a new appointment as the chief judge. And so the office sort of fluctuates between Saskatoon and Regina, but I believe, I just don't know which city she's sitting in.
I've approached several lawyers, and several lawyers have approached me, and they've said, you know, this is a topic that needs to be discussed. None of them wanted to talk. You were the guy they said I should talk to. You nervous at all about talking about this stuff?
No, I mean,
like, I don't want you to get in trouble here.
I'm secretary treasurer of our Battleford Bar Association, so I guess it sort of comes with the territory. Lawyers have to be cautious because we can't seem to be critical of the bench. They are their own set part of the government, if you will. You know, you have the government can't really criticize what the courts are doing, right? They're their own branch of the government. And that's sort of the line that's been fed to us by the Minister of Justice. But this really isn't a judicial decision. This is really an administrative and policy decision, in my view. I think some justification should be provided. When judges make decisions, they often provide written reasons for their decisions, and rightly or wrongly, lawyers have to accept them. But in this instance, we're being asked to accept a decision without really any justification or reasons as such, other than we're told that there's efficiencies, but the numbers as we've looked at them don't really justify why Lloydminster is being closed.
So if you didn't speak up on this, if lawyers don't speak up on this, who would possibly speak up on this?
I guess citizens, but I mean, I didn't see any press release in the paper. I mean, it was sort of one of those that went out. I mean, it was sent to our Battleford's Bar Association and a host of other organizations. I didn't see whether it was sent to the media or not, but certainly it's something that spread very quickly, notwithstanding that.
So we see our community as, you know, a major community. We see it as 30,000. I guess you could kind of break it down and see it as, for Saskatchewan, are they seeing it as, well, this is half a city because half is Alberta and half is Saskatchewan?
They might. I mean, they might see that population-wise, Lloyd's a little less than half on the Sask side. What a few of us did before we took any steps were to crunch some numbers that we found, and the most recent numbers published were 2018-2019 stats provided by the Provincial Court of Saskatchewan. And when you break down the stats based on new charges and appearances before judges, the Lloyd's in right at the top in terms of appearances per judge. So when you compare Lloyd to Saskatoon, you got to look at the fact that Saskatoon has 10 provincial court judges, Lloyd has one. But we're one of the busier courthouses. Us and Estevan are very comparable courthouses with two circuit points to the one courthouse and also one sitting judge. And We're one of the busiest courthouses, if not the busiest courthouse in Saskatchewan by appearances or charges. And I apologize, I just can't remember which one. But we're first in one and fourth in the other. So we're amongst the top as compared to the 12 or 13 total courthouses. So this, again, just doesn't make sense. If it's a busy courthouse, closing us down and merging us with Battleford's only going to require a full-time judge to be appointed to Battleford, North Battleford, I should say. And then those North Battleford judges probably having to take on a little more work volume coming out to Lloyd. It just doesn't make sense.
I look at it and I look at this as a major position in our community as well, major dollars. I mean, this somebody's going to be paid a really healthy wage. I mean, if they're going to add a judge in North Battleford and they're going to take one away from Lloyd, that doesn't suit our economy very well either. When we look at Alberta and they're a circuit court, was that ever a case where Alberta changed, Ryan? Do you know? Or how's Alberta and that half kind of factor in, or does it at all?
Yeah, well, and so Judge Johnston reached the mandatory retirement age, I believe, a couple of years ago. He still sits supernumerary, but someone had to be appointed in his position. And so we have had Judge Rice come out, and Judge Rice has been great. And, you know, he doesn't live in the community, but that's not a criticism of him. That's his choice, and that's certainly something that can be either dictated to him or not. But he comes out, and he does a great job, and it's good that way. The difficulty we're going to have is that we will have no resident judge within the community. And by my quick math, there'll be no resident judge in any community along Highway 16 between Edmonton and North Battleford. Now, I believe there's a couple resident judges up in St. Paul and Cold Lake area, but that's certainly a significant distance away from Lloydminster. And I feel that, and I certainly the criminal practitioners in Lloydminster probably feel this way, but when you have a judge that resides in the community and has sort of their finger on the pulse of the community, the justice that's handed out, if you will, has a little bit more of a meaning to it. And you feel like you have something in the community, a pillar in the community. And my concern is that we're going to lose that. And that can have ramifications. I mean, I think the RCMP would state the same, that it's something that they don't want to see have happen, because you lose a sense of feeling of justice in the community just by losing that courthouse.
This can't be because no one wants to move to Lloydminster then, right? Is this a case of, well, we can't find a judge?
No, because there's always lawyers with at least 10 years experience who have been vetted and have put an application in to be appointed to the provincial court. And when you're first appointed to the provincial court, you are appointed and you are told to go to a location, and that's where you serve until you're transferred out. Presumably it has to be with your consent when you're transferred out. And so that was one of the issues with, if they were contemplating shutting down Lloyd, is that and I don't know whether they were, but you couldn't transfer out Judge Young without his consent. However, he's retired, and now they're in the situation where they are. But when a judge is appointed, they're told to go be appointed to a certain location. Now, can they be forced to buy a house and live in that community? Maybe not. But if it's a full-time court location and they're expected to be here Monday to Friday, except if they're traveling to Onion Lake or St. Walburg, practically speaking, a lot of people would make their home in that community just for the practicality of it. It's easier driving-wise and so forth. So we won't have that anymore. But certainly, it wasn't an impediment to having someone be appointed here to replace Judge Young, because if their name was on the list and they accepted a position to the bench and they were told to go to Lloydminster, that's where they'd have to go.
I noticed when I asked you, if you don't stand up for this, who will? You didn't say the city of Lloydminster. So does the city have any say in this? I know you can't speak for them, but would you talk to them, and have they said anything? Has the city said anything at all?
We have, actually. When we reached out to Mayor Albers, I guess that would have been June 8th. He got back to me within a day and requested a meeting. I met with myself and another local lawyer first thing in the morning, 7:30 or 7:45 in the morning. And Mayor Albers was very concerned about this. He was hoping to bring it up with the MLA, and certainly he was going to try to bring it up with the Minister of Justice, as well as I think he has meetings from time to time with the Premier, and he was going to be bringing it up there as well. He was also going to be bringing it up with SUMA, which I think is the Urban Municipalities organization of in Saskatchewan. The other one who he was going to talk to was, this has happened previously in Saskatchewan 5 or 6 years ago, and he was going to talk to mayor in that community, as certainly it's something that we don't want to see continue to happen, because it's one thing for efficiencies for smaller communities to lose a court location. You know, for instance, I'll give you Maidstone. Maidstone doesn't have the court travel out to Maidstone, but Maidstone has a designated date in Lloydminster right now. St. Walburg still has a designated date in the community with the judge traveling out. But again, is St. Walburg a lot bigger than Maidstone? Maybe a little bit, but that's sort of how they've chosen those court locations. When I first started practicing, Turtleford was a circuit location and was serviced, but in my understanding, I don't know whether it really is anymore. So these circuit locations have sort of shrunk, and the concern is that if you don't have that justice in your community, it's going to, it has a different feel to it.
You mentioned St. Walburg, Onion Lake. So how does this affect them? Or does it?
We're being told that it doesn't. But I would give you an example. If you're an individual that was living outside of Lloydminster that's charged with a crime in the Saskatchewan side in Lloydminster, you have a relatively short drive to Lloydminster. If you lived in Marshall or Lashburn and you had a charge on the Saskatchewan side that related to Lloydminster, you're traveling to Lloydminster. And on a go forward, you're still going to be traveling to Lloydminster, but it's pretty easy to see how that can ultimately result in fewer days. And for instance, what happens if it's minus 40 and icy roads after a miserable winter weekend, as the case may be from time to time in Lloydminster, and they don't send the court staff and the judge driving down the road from North Battleford, as a lot of people wouldn't, a lot of businesses wouldn't send their employees down the road. But the reality is, are we going to administer court remotely? And how are these accused who are probably driving down the same roads showing up to Lloydminster? And so someone who's charged from Onion Lake or other locations with a charge in Lloyd might be showing up to court in Lloyd, and unbeknownst to them, the court's canceled or perhaps made remote on a short notice basis. So if they didn't show up and make sure their attendance was there, there would be a warrant issued for their arrest. You know, but now by the same token, a judge or a court staff potentially may not be there attending in the future. And again, that sends mixed signals. I'm supposed to be at court as an accused. However, you know, because of the weather, the court staff were unable to make it. You know, that can send some pretty mixed messages in terms of enforcement of justice and the rule of law. So we're trending on a slippery slope here. And I think that we just don't know whether some of this was fleshed out or considered in that regard, because we weren't consulted.
So when it comes to court staff, I never really thought of that. You know, I just imagine a judge on a cold winter day, he's one person traveling. How many people are we talking about when it comes to court staff here, and how many people would have lost their jobs here then?
I think one or two would normally travel to, say, St. Walburg. I really truthfully didn't pay attention, but I think it's one or two would travel alongside the judge. For Onion Lake, I haven't been up there for a while for an appearance, so I couldn't really tell you, but my guess would be about the same, one or two, maybe three. My understanding is there was 9 staff in Lloydminster that are stationed in Lloydminster that were sort of given notice of this, and that included 2 sheriffs who are the security and provide, you know, security in the back in cells and so forth. My understanding is that 2 of the sheriffs were provided offers of employment in North Battleford.
So seven lost.
Then. Yeah, and that would be the court staff, would right. be the clerks and so forth that weren't offered positions.
So when it comes to, you know, someone accused of a crime, and not everyone is guilty, that's why they go to court, but a lot of people would say, oh, well, I feel so bad for these people. They have to travel further. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But what about victims of crime? How does this affect victims of crime?
Well, I mean, again, we're being told that the trial days won't be affected. I just have a hard time believing that, you know, because even the press release sort of indicates that, you know, the court days until the changeover in September will remain the same. So we're really given no assurances beyond September as to what the system will look like. But if you step away from the criminal realm and you even look at the civil realm, and you look at small claims in Saskatchewan, small claims, if I had to make a fairly educated guess, would be 70% self-represented parties. In other words, somebody that doesn't have a lawyer, they're representing themselves on a you know, a suit over a loan, or you owe me money, or you did bad work, those types of civil claims. So a judge can be gone right now in Lloydminster, but the clerks are there. You know, even if there's not a sitting day in Lloyd, the clerks are there. So if someone just happened to stop by and I need some help, I need, what forms do I fill out? Where do I file them? What do I pay? You know, how do I fill them out? The clerks are there to give them assistance. They can't give them legal advice, but they can give them assistance on completing the forms, filing the forms, and process, if you will. Someone could stop by now in Lloyd's a circuit location and there wouldn't be anyone here. And so now they're either having to, if it's a rush, have to take it to North Battleford or file it in North Battleford and go from there. Or they're going to have to be in Lloydminster on a circuit date to deal with it. Do we know how many people we're going to have in Lloydminster staffing Lloyd on a circuit date? We don't. We weren't told. If you look at St. Walburg on a busy criminal day, there is simply no time to deal with civil matters, filing and those types of things on a busy circuit date. They're just, the clerk does not have the time. And that extends to paying traffic fines. If you're, if you want to go renew your license at SGI, if you're a SAS resident, you find out that you have some unpaid tickets one way or another. Maybe you were aware, maybe you weren't aware, maybe you forgot. Now you got to buzz down to the courthouse to renew your license. Now you can't do it because the circuit location is closed that day. And so there's all these practical realities that I think when people of Lloydminster think about that, like for a lot of people, they're not going to have criminal charges, but they may get speeding tickets, as some of us do. And so if you have to deal with your traffic tickets and you want to go pay them and you can't, and I know you can do that online, but not everyone has a credit card and not everyone is great at navigating online and paying fines and portals. And so the reality is some people like to go with their ticket, get the little green tab and then take it to SGI, and that's their proof that they were paid. They're all in the clear. They don't have any outstanding fines. That's a simple practical reality of how Lloydminster is going to change on a go-forward basis.
It seems to me like this is a real big step backwards. Like it seems like, you know, in the old West, when they'd say you got to stay in jail till the judge gets here. That's what it seems like to me. But we have new technology. If the pandemic has showed us anything, it's that video conferencing, video technology can kind of change things. So does technology factor into this at all, Ryan?
I hope so. But again, part of the lack of communication with this notice is that it's just been told that we're changing and we haven't been given any update as to what may possibly take place. So pre-pandemic, we had fairly consistent CCTV, closed circuit television appearances by prisoners, whether it was the SAS side or Alberta side. There'd be a monitor, there was a camera. The accused could see the judge could see the accused could see the courtroom. Post-pandemic, it's telephone. It's been pretty much strictly telephone. Things opened back up in the summer, in the fall, and then they closed again there in November, and really it's been telephone throughout. It's opening up, I believe, this week, truth be told. I think it was last week there was some limited matters, North Battleford, that opened up, and then this week it's opening up in Lloydminster. On the Alberta side, the Alberta government, by about June, July, put in place WebEx video conferencing. And so we all get to see the nice artwork or well-decorated offices or home offices of the other lawyers and so forth. But you were able to see the prosecutor, and you, as a prosecutor, are able to see the accused if they're not calling in. And you're able to see all the other lawyers. Now, is it the same as taking a break and having a discussion with a Crown prosecutor about their position on a file? It's not the same. You can call them up on their cell phone and those sorts of things, but it's not the same as sitting across, as we are across from the desk, and, you know, what's your position on this, and having some discussions on a file as opposed to running everything through a trial. I can tell you, I don't practice a lot of criminal law, but the couple files I do have, even that WebEx system takes a lot longer to deal with a regular docket. You have to call every accused that needs to be called, wait for them to connect. You know, they're not all in a courtroom. And so ideally, post-pandemic, there's going to be a new normal, and I hate those words, but there's going to be something new. but there's been nothing put into place in Saskatchewan that would address video conferencing appearances. So if we had a day where it was minus 40 and the judge didn't attend, a courtroom full of people waiting to appear, first off, someone's got to run the electronics and the hearing equipment. So there would have to be a need for some clerk or some type of person present to deal with it. But even if that was the case, we don't even have the technology in the Saskatchewan provincial courts, at least not in Lloyd, and certainly not in St. Walburg or Onion Lake, to address that at this point.
So June 8th, you got a notice that this is happening?
It came out June 7th, but I was made aware June 8th. Yeah.
When does this take place? When does everything?
I believe it's September 1. Yeah. So I believe, and I haven't seen these notices, but it's from what I'm told, the staff were given working notice, so to speak, that their job would be terminated at the end of August, and that either they were offered some amount due to their severance or whatnot, or I think they might be even unionized employees or public employees, so there might be a schedule or whatnot, and a couple of them were offered jobs in North Battleford.
So you mentioned that this would possibly affect someone who has had something done wrong with with their contractor or something, anything like that. Does it discourage people from seeking justice?
That is our fear, and there's a real large push, certainly in our local bar, for access to justice, but even amongst the law societies and our representative group, the Canadian Bar Association, there's been a real big push for access to justice, as there has been in the courts. And this just seems to be a complete step backwards, because I do not understand, like I've addressed earlier, filing documents isn't going to be available in Lloydminster. So if you lived in Marshall, you could drive to Lloyd. Now you have to deal with it in North Battleford. I just can't see how there's going to be increased access to justice without some significant technological advancements. But even then, I just don't see how we're not going to lose dates. I'm not going to go out and say we are going to lose dates, because we're being told we're not, but we're only being told we're not until September 1st. And so realistically, I could see Lloydminster being scaled back at that point.
How does this affect local lawyers? I mean, do lawyers have to travel down this highway all the time now then?
We'll get by. No, I mean, we're being told that the judge and the clerks will be traveling down the highway. But I think there has to be greater judicial resources coming this way, because if we're, first off, we don't know whether they're replacing Judge Young. So if they are replacing Judge Young, that would presumably be a fourth judge in North Battleford. If they're not, then it's going to be a significantly higher volume of work for those three judges that are sitting in North Battleford. And so I guess from the North Battleford side of the coin, they might be losing judicial resources. They might have their courtrooms tied up or double booked a little more, because their judges are now having to service Onion Lake, St. Walburg, and Lloydminster with the same amount of resources as they had before. Again, we're flying blind, because we don't know whether there's an appointment being made that will sort of take Judge Young's position when and if he's done sitting. And I shouldn't say when I say he's retired, he's at the age where it's sort of mandatory retirement, but he can still sit supernumerary, and he is sitting supernumerary staffing Lloydminster, but even that can only take place for a certain amount of time. So,
what does this do to wait times? You got a court date, you're going to be waiting longer?
Could be. Like, Lloyd has a significant variance between the circuit points and Lloyd, and we don't have those stats which differentiate them, but Lloyd is already amongst the ones that have a little bit longer wait times, as is North Battleford. So now we're going to be in a situation where it's going to be quite easy to see at least 6-8 months before you get a trial date. Could be longer. Anything sitting in the provincial courts has to be dealt with within 18 months, and that's pursuant to the Supreme Court of Canada's decision in Jordan. And so there's going to be Jordan ramifications, I think, going forward. It may not play out that way, but I can't see how there's not going to be some amount of delay. And so again, if you have a trial date that needs to take place by a certain time, failing which the charges may be stayed, or that an application is going to be made for the charges to be dismissed because they're in violation of the Jordan principles. Now perhaps the court's offering up North Battleford court dates to Lloydminster files, or vice versa, and now you're tying both up. Because Lloydminster is just a circuit position saying, well, we can hear this North Battleford matter, but it'll have to take place in Lloydminster. Is that fair? Not really. And I'm not saying that that will happen, but I could see something theoretically that that could happen because you need a date. And that happens from time to time. Like, we can get you a date here in Vermilion, or I can get you a date here in Wainwright, and you hear a matter because you need to hear that matter. And everyone consents to the transfer to get it done and dealt with. I just can't see how that will never happen. At some point, it will happen. So is it fair for a victim to now have to drive down the highway? Is it fair for a victim to see an accused not even have to see their day in court because you have a case that's thrown out as a result of the application of the Jordan principles and the judge saying, well, it's been more than 18 months. There's unreasonable delay here, and I'm dismissing the charges. That could happen.
I just want to be clear. Jordan principles are like, that's the right to a speedy trial?
That Jordan was a Supreme Court of Canada decision that interpreted the charter right to a trial within a reasonable amount of time. And so they set ceilings as to how long it should take. So for summary procedure matters, which generally only take place in provincial court, those were 18 months. And for more serious matters, like it's indictable matters, so the biggest being murder, I suppose, that would be 36 months. And so those have been in place for a good 4 or 5 years now, and there were a significant number of cases that had to be dismissed as a result of the application of the Jordan principles. And on the other side of COVID, it's going to be interesting how that plays out as well, because there's case law stating that COVID's an exceptional circumstance that sort of overrides Jordan. But the reality is that we have a backlog in the system right now, and the matters that are most pressing are going to get booked first for trials. But I could see where you're coming out on the other side of this in the summer. There's going to be a big backlog to have to deal with, and there might be a matter or two that just slips through the cracks. Now, that's a COVID thing, but how much worse is it going to be made as a result of these changes?
It sounds like this is something that could affect victims and victim services?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure on the victim services. I would assume that at some point you don't need a full-time victim services worker in Lloydminster if Lloydminster doesn't become the place where they're situated out of. So I'm not entirely sure whether they were some of the ones that were given notice already. My understanding is they weren't. But again, if you're not in the courtroom that everything's taking place, because you're in the courtroom that everything takes place, but that courtroom's only there as a circuit location. So, I mean, in St. Walburg, the circuit location's a Legion Hall. So you're not going to be in the Legion Hall Monday to Friday hearing about files and stuff. I can't see how the victim services worker doesn't have to either not relocate, but certainly have to turn their attention to North Battleford just to stay abreast of certain files on behalf of victims.
Ryan, what can we do about this? If people are watching this, and there certainly could be some anger, you know, about losing our judge and this happening, what can people do about it to stop it? Is there anything they can do?
I think you need to write to your MLA, and we have reached out to local MLAs. I mean, we're being told that this was a decision of the courts, that they're independent judiciary, that they're a third branch of the government, and that decision has to be respected. But I think if you're going to write to anyone, I think you have to write to the Minister of Justice, CC your local MLA, and ask the Minister of Justice, you know, who was consulted, what were you consulted about, and specifically ask the pointed questions. Did you give your blessing to this, or did you request this? Because while the messenger was the chief judge, I really have a tough time in believing that that was the chief judge's initiation of this. for a variety of reasons. I just don't believe that that was the case. And I don't think it's appropriate that if this was the decision that was made jointly with the Minister of Justice, why the Minister of Justice shouldn't be held to account and provide some justification as to what why this decision was made and provide some hard and fast numbers. They should have some figures as to the cost efficiency. Quite frankly, paying a few court staff to drive as opposed to them residing here can only cost more money. And if they're going to keep Lloydminster open as much as they were in the past, you have an increased cost right there. You're going to have to station them in North Battleford in an already very busy courthouse. Not as busy as Lloyd per judge, but still a very busy courthouse. Give us something that shows that there's an actual cost benefit to this, but more than that, a benefit in terms of cost savings that outweighs the detriments to the Lloydminster and area community, not just Lloydminster. It's St. Walburg, Onion Lake, and all the small towns in between that are serviced by Lloyd.
I better ask this because people are going to wonder, does it complicate things that our MLA is Colleen Young?
In terms of being the local judges, I suppose it would. But really, once I think Judge Young was retired at that mandatory age of retirement, it's a decision that could be made. Like that was more the impetus, I think, or what allowed this to happen sort of unilaterally without any judges' consent of being transferred out. I guess optics-wise, it maybe complicates things a little bit. But the main difficulty is just no justification as to why this is actually better. Because when we've crunched the numbers, and this is the provincial court's own numbers for the most recent published year, I assume there's another year that's just been held back because of COVID. And I would suggest that even if it was released, it probably wouldn't be a fair comparison because of COVID. But Lloydminster is amongst the busiest sitting judges, per sitting judge in the province. The busiest by either appearances or per charge, and the fourth busiest on the opposite. I just can't remember which one was which.
So people may be concerned, like that's very concerning, isn't it? I mean, we always think of North Battleford as this dangerous location. It's number one for crime in Canada all the time, and here we are. Our court is busier on percentage
on a per capita, because that's per person, but per sitting judge.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can take
that's alarming.
The caseload in North Battleford is higher in total, as opposed to Lloydminster, but there's three judges there. So what we did was, well, we're going to divide by three.
Yeah.
And now the number of cases, the number of appearances, the number of new charges is less per judge in North Battleford than Lloydminster. Is less in Saskatoon, is less in a lot of places. So we're a busy, busy court location.
So alert is coming to Lloydminster.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so obviously there's cause for concern, and there's crime in the city and crime in the area. We know that. But justice will take kind of a step back. That's what I'm kind of taking from this. And I think what you're taking from this is that no consultation at all. And that's alarming for residents as well, that there's no warning on the way things are going. So I really appreciate, Ryan, that you stopped in today. Really, really appreciate you taking the time. But is there anything I'm forgetting to ask you and anything you want people to know?
No, I don't think so. I mean, on the consultation thing, we're not required to be consulted. It might be a little bit different in terms of Onion Lake, but in terms of Lloydminster, we're not required to be consulted under the Act. But the way it was handled in terms of there's no real facts or no real supporting evidence to show why the three or four paragraph statement that was released is actually what we can expect, that this is a cost efficiency that'll improve things. Show us the numbers and show us why that would be the case, and or provide us some, I guess, assurances that the concerns we have in relation to filing and other matters are being dealt with. And then maybe it would be something that, while we may not be able to accept it, a business case, if you will, could be made out for why this is an appropriate step going forward. And it could be sold within the community by stakeholders such as Victim Services, RCMP, the local bar association. That hasn't taken place. And so we really want to see something from the courts and provide us with something, or, you know, failing which, it's not going to be something that's going to be stomached too well.
The other thing I'll take away is that I agree with you 100% that a judge would have his hand on the pulse of the city and understand it that much more.
Yeah, you'd have to. I mean, we're all human. Judges are still human. Judges still make mistakes. That's why there's courts above provincial court judges. Yeah. So they don't like to. They don't like to be appealed. But the reality is they all go shopping and they're out at Co-op or they're out at Superstore or Sobeys, and they all have friends in the community and they say, gee, you know, this took place. It was a large act of property damage, and you know, how are you gonna, like, how can you let that stand? And they're not supposed to be influenced. They're not supposed to have bias, but inevitably judges live in the communities and judges feel when there's outrage in a community, and they sometimes react accordingly with what they believe is you're still taking an accused into account first because it's the accused circumstances. But living in that community, you also have to have a feeling for what the community is feeling as a result of a particular offense. So many of them are just sort of don't get out into the public, but every once in a while there is that one or two that do. And in that regard, you're not going to necessarily have that anymore with a visiting judge that maybe lives in North Battleford, but maybe is situated in North Battleford and in fact lives in Saskatoon. So it's something that just has to be taken into consideration.
Well, it makes sense to me, you know. You know, being in the media, that I would see, you know, outrage in the community and what is happening in the community. And this has been brought to my attention because it's a big concern, not only with the Bar Association, but also from the community. So thank you so much. I really appreciate
your time, Kurt. Thank you for having me on.
You can join us again on Thursday for Think Lloyd Thursday. We're Think Lloyd First, and we're going to talk to some developers here in Lloydminster on Thursday morning, 11 o'clock, live from the new Lloydminster Nissan.